This is URN Sport. The
Green and Gold
Podcast
for
University Radio Nottingham
with
University of Nottingham Sport.
Green
and
Gold.
Hello and welcome back to the Green and Gold Podcast with me, George Bowman.
And me, Archie Wood. So last episode we chatted a bit about the overall sport at the university here, looked into four different aspects, but really we didn't dive too much into the bucks aspect of the sporting programme here at the university. So this episode we thought we'd look more about the performance sports that are done here at the university and talk about how they're prioritised at the top of the agenda at the university.
So yeah, this episode is going to be primarily focused on sort of the performance sports that the University of Nottingham offers, which all perform in bucks, but I think we are planning to do a bit more of a different episode on all the different clubs and stuff at the university, while this one's going to take a bit of a deeper dive into the 20 performance sports which the university offers here. The University of Nottingham offers here.
Yes, so these sports are played into universities for the University of Nottingham. And so, George, what sort of how do they work?
Yes, that's right. Archie, a lot of these sports are played throughout the year, and they all of our performance sports are compete in the Bucks competition, which is basically university competition where they play against all other universities from around the country. That may differ for sport from sport to sport. So a lot of these sports, football, women's football, lacrosse, men's and women's lacrosse, men's and women's hockey, these kind of sports are played every Wednesday in a league-based competition. And there's also a cup which goes alongside that. There are other sports like fencing, table tennis, athletics, indoor athletics, where they go to a big event called Big Bucks Weekend, which is over a weekend, which happened a couple of weeks ago now, where Nottingham, as a top university for sport, will compete against other top universities such as Exeter, Durham, Loughborough, to try and bring the individual titles home. Just going on to the team sports, like the men's hockey and the women's hockey and the lacrosse and these kind of sports, they have fixtures every Wednesday where they compete against other teams in a league and then, as I say, in a cup. And in this cup, there is what they call the Road to the Big Bucks Wednesday.
Yes, you might have heard of Big Bucks Wednesday around the University of Nottingham Sport Department and Community. So what is that, George? Just give us a little outline of how that works.
Big Bucks Wednesday is basically, it's coming up in a couple of weeks, actually. So it's exciting times for the performance sports here at the university. And basically, this is for the teams in the cup competitions, the top cup competitions, because we're talking about performance sport here, and the top cup competition for all of the sports is then played on a Wednesday afternoon, which is actually going to be hosted in Nottingham this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I know actually one of my housemates plays for the men's ones hockey, and
really?
They managed to get through to the final. They had the semi-final last Wednesday, so they're through to the final of the cup, so he'll be competing in Big Bucks Wednesday against Exeter, I believe, although I'm not 100% sure on that, so
okay,
don't quote me. But yeah, there'll be lots of other sports basically played on today, and that not all of our performance sports teams have got into that, but we are hosting it, so we might have it like Loughborough versus Exeter down here, for example.
Yeah, we did talk about the facilities here at the University of Nottingham last episode. And having the Big Bucks Wednesday hosted here just shows you that the great range of facilities and stuff we've got here to be able to host all of these universities coming down to Nottingham to play. So how does the university do in these Bucks competitions generally? Because it was a very good, we won University of the Year in the sport department 2 years three years ago, and then last year. So how good is the Bucks teams here at the university?
Well, obviously, the Bucks teams, so all the clubs will have a lot of teams, and they are all playing Bucks in different leagues. Obviously, for this episode, we're going to focus on the top teams, basically. So we're talking about the ones, and sometimes the first team, and sometimes the second team of those particular sports, the 20 which we have performance sports in, across the board, we are incredibly strong in these sports. And in fact, there's lots of scholars which come into the university, people who compete at an international level, a national level, and that they come to represent the University of Nottingham whilst they're at uni. I know there are a lot of scholarships for the hockey club, a lot of scholarships for cycling, lacrosse as well. I know another one of my housemates is the ladies twos player in lacrosse, and she actually plays for Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
So that's given you sort of an indication of how strong the first team is. And they've got a few scholars from America who have come over to compete in the lacrosse team here in Nottingham.
Wow.
So that sort of shows the depth of performance sport here at Nottingham. And also, so the performance team, so often the first team in these performance sports and the second team sometimes get access to another facility that we spoke about in the last episode, which is the HP set. The high performance zone in the David Ross, which is on the downstairs floor, and it has a gym and specific equipment like a 60-meter athletics track and other stuff like sprint harnesses and hurdles and this sort of stuff. And this is where they can work with their specific coaches and really hone their skills, so to speak, and they have the best opportunity to being as good as they can be.
Yes, that is fantastic. You do get scholars coming in here to prioritise the sport and play for the University of Nottingham. So that's fantastic. Now, you are much more knowledgeable than I am, because you've actually played for the university in respective sports, and then you have a lot of friends who do as well. I'm a bit more of a novice here, so you're teaching me as well as all of the listeners. So just give us a bit of a insight about your experience of playing Bucks level here at the university.
Well, yeah, unfortunately I haven't played any performance sports here, because I play in the cricket club, and that's not technically counted as a performance sport. We do get access to the HPCF, which is great.
That's fantastic.
But obviously, because it's a summer sport and there's not much time over the summer where we actually get to play, it's not counted as one of the performance sports here at Nottingham. But I was in the hockey club last year. I played 13, so just missed out on the sort of performance sport aspect. But I do have a few housemates which play in the first team and second team for respective sports. And yeah, like I said, I mean, the facility, the access, the training they get given is brilliant. I think my mate that plays for the hockey first team has 6 training sessions a week and then 2 matches on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the HPZ a couple of mornings a week, and then has training obviously in the afternoons. He can use that facility anytime he wants. He can go and book an own session. So if he's missed his allocated team slot time to go and work with the personal trainer, they'll give him a program where he can then go and do it another time. It's the same actually for my 2 other housemates who play for the lacrosse second team. They're in the HPZ a couple of mornings a week, doing their S&C work and stuff like that, and obviously getting training on the Jubilee campus, the lacrosse is, often. I have less knowledge about the individual performance sports we've got here at uni, but the university. But a couple of weeks ago, we actually did, so I conducted an interview with Stefano Lucchetti,
mm-hmm.
who's a fencer here
at
Nottingham, and he's actually an Argentinian international. Which was a really interesting insight into the individual performance sports we have here. And he is a scholarship. He's on the scholarship here at the University of Nottingham.
Yes.
And he competes.
He was, they were preparing for, as you mentioned, the Big Bucks weekend, where he competed. How did he do?
So, yes, he did really well, actually. So he didn't lose a match in the group stages. He did his job, so to speak. But unfortunately, his main competitor, who he actually did mention in the interview from Durham, slipped up, which meant they had to face each other in the semi-finals rather than the finals, which meant that he unfortunately got knocked out in the semi-finals and came third.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, a third place medal in the Big Bucks National weekend is a brilliant achievement. And he's actually... There's been 2 medals ever from the university in fencing in that competition, and both are from Stefano. So he was a brilliant character and a really great guy, and I think we'll probably put the interview in here.
Yes, we will. Absolutely fantastic from Stefano. And there was lots of other sports that were done on that big Bucks weekend, as you mentioned, all the individual sports. But let's just take a little deep dive in into the more like the team sports and how they work each week, because you mentioned them going to the high performance sector of the David Ross, which is absolutely brilliant. And I do know people who have to get up quite early to go into respective teams and whatever to train in the mornings, and I think that's how the University of Nottingham Sport Department gets so good, because there's so much effort that's put in by both the athletes and the coaches here to make these teams as good as possible and to keep the high level of sport up in this in the university, and just them being able to compete each week is a fantastic achievement. They go travelling all over the country, play lots of different teams. And then it all rounds off into the Big Bucks Wednesday at the sort of March time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, which is correct. So all of those team sports and all of the sports actually will be playing and competing on Wednesdays. And they'll also, so obviously they're competing in the league, as I've said, and then they'll have their cup competitions based on the league which they're in. So obviously focusing on performance sports, we're looking at the top echelons of those teams. So mm-hmm. the first teams will be competing in the cup against the other best teams across the country. And just to show sort of the strength of our sport here at the university, which just listing the teams which have actually made all of the different sports which have actually made it to the Big Bucks Wednesday, which is obviously a massive achievement going to this cup competition. We've got American football, badminton, fencing, both men's and women's, men's futsal, women's futsal, men's hockey, women's hockey, women's lacrosse, squash, table tennis, both men's and women's, tennis for the women, volleyball for the men, and water polo for the men, and wheelchair basketball have all made it to either the final or semi-final for the Big Bucks Wednesday. So that basically shows how strong our sport here is at the University of Nottingham.
That is amazing. And for a lot of those teams, they'll be able to play in the final at David Ross or in another place in Nottingham, which will be absolutely fantastic to watch. So definitely, if you can, go and get tickets there so you'll be able to watch it. And as you mentioned, there was a long list there, a huge list of all those sports that have done fantastically. And they'll come up against good competition at this final, but hopefully get some decent wins in
it. So you have to think that all of these teams would have come through a cup competition which would have started with 10 to 20 teams in. Mm-hmm. So they've all obviously played the other universities across the country, and to come out on top in this many sports is a really testament to how strong our performance sports programs are here at the University of Nottingham. As I mentioned, I've got a couple of friends playing in the hockey first team against, and they're going to be playing Loughborough in the final, which is on the 23rd of March. So obviously the 23rd of March is the actual Wednesday, the mm-hmm. Big Bucks Wednesday. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on then. But also there are a couple of games which are on a slightly different day. So for example, the American football final, which is brilliant that our men's first team have managed to get into that final. That's actually going to be played on the Tuesday evening.
I guess to help sort of spread out the games, because that'll be a long game played at the 4G pitch at David Ross.
Yeah, absolutely. So it does. There are a couple of different fixtures at different times just to make sure there is the space to get all of these fixtures out on the Wednesday.
Yes. So leading up to Big Bucks Wednesday, you know, a couple of people who are in different teams. Does the training heighten up? Does it get a bit more intense?
I'm sure it does. Yeah, I'm sure it does, Archie. I'm sure you've played a few big fixtures in your day, and you know that before a big game, there's obviously a bit more intensity in training, a few more tackles flying in.
Yes.
It's football or rugby, and the intensity definitely will be going up, and people will be getting nervous and looking forward to that final, I think.
Well, of course. And as you mentioned earlier, we did managed to get an interview with Stefano, who we talked about competed in the fencing for the university in the Big Bucks weekend. So I hope you enjoy this little clip of the interview.
Okay, so for our interview this week, we have Stefano
Luchetti, a scholar here at the University of Nottingham for fencing and member of the Argentinian national team. So just to get started, basically, what does sort of the green and gold culture here at the University of Nottingham mean to you?
Thank you so much for having me, first of all. Green and gold, it's more, obviously, more than just the two colors of our uni. To me, it really symbolizes family and kind of just encompasses, in a short way, like the whole sports culture that UON Sport and the whole university and the whole student body has really been growing being a part of and being involved in. So for me, when I hear and think and post about the green and gold, I always think of it as my friends and my family, support from the staff. Yeah,
a bit like a community sort of thing, that sort of feel.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of we don't really have a mascot here for the uni or for the sports department, so the green and gold is kind of our way of coming together and
representing all of the sport and everything that goes on here.
Exactly. Sort of. Yep.
And obviously you're an incredibly talented athlete. Obviously 3 Pan American individual championships, South American championships, junior world championship finalist, University of London athlete in 2018. And I think you also said you were nominated for University Sports Person of the Year here in 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
With all that performance and all of that great sort of athletic ability, how have you found the performance side of sport here? The facilities, the infrastructure, the coaches?
So I found it making the decision to come and do my master's here at the University of Nottingham was at first unknown to me. I really didn't know what to expect. I was kind of in the dark, but one day the lead fencing coach approached me at a competition and invited me to come up to check the facilities out, to check Nottingham out. And I'm really glad I did, because that really opened my eyes and kind of motivated me and made it certain that, okay, this is a great opportunity and it would be a good decision to continue my education, which I always wanted to do a master's, while having incredible support from all staff, physios, nutritionists, psychologists, trainers, SNC coaches, fencing staff, paired with the fantastic facilities here at the David Ross Sports Village. Like, to me, it's a great combination for all athletes of all kinds of sports who want to pursue academics while also maintaining and, in some cases, improving their athletics. So, yeah, for me, it was great.
So let's talk about those facilities a little bit. Obviously, we're sat here in David Ross Sports Village now, which was, a £40 million investment from the uni to build all this stuff. Downstairs in the bottom sort of corner to there, we've got the high performance zone. And I assume you spend quite a lot of time training down there.
Yes.
Can you talk us through some of the training stuff that we have down there, some of the facilities that you can use and that sort of side of things?
Yeah. So having the HPZ has been an incredible asset and a benefit that kind of sets, and it's nice because it sets the scholar athletes apart from the rest of the athletic,
Anyone can use the gym upstairs.
Not to take away from the regular gym or anything like that, but it is very nice to have kind of that exclusive feel for scholars. But also to have the dedicated staff working with each teams or individuals there, one-on-one or in group sessions. We also have the ability, athlete drop-in sessions they're called, where we can just book it online and go whenever it works for us, which is good because sometimes there's clashes with studies or with lectures and seminars and labs. So
they're quite flexible about letting you basically train when you want.
Yes, and that's the whole point of it, and another great thing that the university and everybody's aware that obviously we're here to get our education and school comes first, So they're willing to accommodate and be flexible with times and things like that. So yeah, the HPZ is fantastic. They've changed it a few times over my tenure. So every time I come back from a break, it's a new feeling to it, new layout.
That must be quite nice to have that sort of refreshed training zone, though, because obviously you must spend quite a bit of time in there. And if it's just the same thing over and over again, it might get a bit...
Yeah, I to be honest, I don't think they did it for fun. I think it was more of a practical reason. And there was all this new equipment, new lifting racks and stations, new machines, which were great to work with, the you know, brand new stuff.
Yeah.
That's always great. You never have to wait, which is another perk and another benefit compared to the gym upstairs, where sometimes it is quite crowded, you know, when and you have to kind of share and, you know, you don't always get access to the exact machines at the right time. So HPZ, we have everything we need at any time. So it's great.
Obviously, fencing is an individual sport. You sort of go against an opponent, but there must be a squad of you, I assume. When you're down there training, are you training as a squad with a coach, or is it all individual training plans?
Yeah, no, it's for our club, it's all club training. So it's all teams, first, second, third, novices, it's basically three times a week we have trainings. It's open to everyone. Usually the teams kind of, you know, stick with themselves at training just because it is quite different in level. But it's also great that we do mix, because you get to meet more people from the wider fencing community. You don't just know the guys on your first squad or second squad. So it's great that we're all training together.
And goes back to that inclusivity.
Absolutely. And we're quite a big club. We have close to 100 members. At each training, there's at least 30 people, between 20 to 30 people. And now it's good after COVID to be back kind of to normal, with normal numbers and no restrictions, no training with masks. And yeah, we do have a lead coach, Paul Sibert, who's an amazing amazing coach, and he's a great person who orchestrates and who does so much for the fencing program.
Coaching wise, so obviously here at the University of Nottingham, our elite sports, the top sports, have head coaches. They're often very good. How does he compare to sort of the coaches that you've had internationally and in other sort of high performance areas?
Yeah, so Paul is a great coach, and I know he's... in fencing, we have the three different disciplines, foil, saber, and epee. He's a specialist in foil, and I'm in saber. Unfortunately, I don't get to work with Paul one-on-one and take lessons with him. However, we do have also assistant coaches specializing in the other two weapons who offer one-on-one lessons and lead footwork and specific drills and stuff for each weapon. So that's also great to have the assistance to Paul.
And those coaches are...
also, yes, very good level here, national level, and I'm pretty sure our lead coach Paul, he's heavily involved with British fencing in that community, so he's able to recruit, you know, top level fencers, and he's in charge of coaching seminars and the development programs. I'm not exactly sure. Please don't quote me exactly what his title is.
I know he's involved with
the wider British Fencing Association. So that's also a great benefit to have a person like that be in charge of the team here.
And I know you touched on earlier, as well as coaching, there's obviously a lot of other sort of things you need for high performance athletes.
Yeah.
So you touched on nutritionists, physios. Do you want to just touch on those a little bit?
To be honest, I haven't really used the nutritionist since my first year. But again, it's great to have those added benefits that come with the responsibilities and everything being a scholar. Physio. Actually, the other day I was kind of had like a little muscle problems, went straight in there, had a massage. So that's great to have that ability to be treated for and cared for. sports psychology has been another really good benefit. Fencing is a really big mental sport.
Yep.
So we need, you know, it's 90% to do with mental state. So yeah, having again that the chance to speak with somebody and not have to worry financially about what that might cost, where in some other universities and in previous times of my career that I've had to fund physios, I've had to fund psychologists, having that on offer here at the university is a great benefit.
Yeah, that's great. And I think I've got a mate who plays in the hockey team in the ones, and as well as the HPZ zone, and you've got stuff like ice baths and hydrotherapy,
which I still haven't tried, to be honest. I really, really, like, people are saying, man, it's one of the coldest waters, the coldest baths I've ever taken. But not many of the fencers want to go, to be honest. And you need, I think, like a minimum of 10 or 8 or something to be able to book it in the first place. It's not just you can go and jump in. So I'm trying to make friends now and combine it either with the tennis team or the American football guys and join them, because I really want to try that ice bath.
It should be good.
Yeah.
He says it's normally better for the hangover than the actual muscles. So.
Probably.
I think, so I was speaking to Javi just before we came in, and he was saying that you're off tomorrow.
Yes.
To a big box competition.
Yeah.
To compete and actually defend your gold medal, which you won last year.
The year before,
Pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID, yeah.
So this event is obviously combining fencing, badminton, I think you said, athletics, and lots of sports going to compete against other unis. What is that week like as an athlete?
Yeah, it's actually Bucks Nationals. It's the national competition, but for individuals. So we have the individual competition, which is this weekend for most sports, and then we have the cups, which is Bucks Cup for the wider team sports, events. Yeah. Which we have also later on, which culminates in Bucks Big Wednesday, which is, again, going to be a huge sports celebration. I really encourage, it's going to be amazing since Nottingham is hosting it again this year. And I really hope that we can take the fencing team to the final. We have a good chance, so hopefully we can do that. But going back to this week, coming weekend, I'm competing on Saturday. And like you said, going to be defending my gold medal there, which was the first medal for fencing in the program's history. So for me, that was a really proud moment to be able to bring that any medal. But it was even better.
The first
that
ever
was
gold.
That was gold. Amazing, was fantastic. So definitely, it's going to be a tough competition. There's quite good fencers from different unis, I'm just really excited about it. Again, where the fencing is being held, there's also the swimming going on at the same time. So while I'm not fencing, I'll go always support our guys at the swimming event, which is also very intense and a great competition. There's quite a few other sports. So it is a big pressure-filled weekend. But again, it's fun and it's a privilege to be able to compete at that stage. And it's finally good to be back after COVID this competition. So fingers crossed everything goes well. And hopefully maybe we can discuss it on another episode another medal.
Yeah, a couple of episodes time. We're going to do a whole sort of episode on it. So hopefully we'll come back and see how we got on and hopefully it's another medal.
Yeah.
Who's the biggest competition, do you think? Have you got someone in mind or a couple of people?
There's a couple. I'd say our toughest rivals are Durham this year. We finished second in the league after them.
Okay.
And at Durham, they have strong fencers. And specifically, one that stands out is the former junior world champion, an Italian fencer. So he's going to be a tough one. And like I said, there's a handful of other British fencers that are very competitive and that travel internationally and compete at world events as well. So
the standard's very high.
There is a good standard, yeah.
Obviously, we just talked about the University of Nottingham. You've been great with your time. Just to end, what are your ambitions going forward? Away from, so obviously you finished at the university this year.
Yeah.
What are the goals for the next,
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. This is a very typical question that, you know, parents a lot of people ask me. And it's obviously now, you know, sports has been a huge part of my life. It's been most of my life. So my dream has always been to first qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah.
I've been very close the last two times in Tokyo, nearly missed out by a few points. And then for Rio, we were actually qualified our team. But just the way fencing in politics and with the International Olympic Committee and stuff like that, our specific discipline wasn't included, even though we were qualified. So that was a bummer.
Yeah,
but,
that's
you know,
right.
I'm still not going to give up. I still have the Olympic dream in mind. So definitely going to make a strong effort for Paris 2024. Yeah. And I definitely can also see myself trying for LA in 2028. So bringing it back to my where I was born, back in California, would be probably my last Olympic trial or cycle.
Okay.
So that's sports ambitions.
Yeah.
Olympics is always the pinnacle.
It's amazing, yeah.
And yeah, obviously for careers, trying to find this first good job. And you know, start gaining work experience while also trying to combine it with continuing fencing as well. So those are the ambitions.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah,
and best of luck with all the Olympic stuff. And
thank you
very
much.
I'm sure you'll get there. But thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, well, so do we.
So that was my interview with Stefano a couple of weeks ago. I hope you found it as interesting and intriguing as I did, and it gave you a bit more, a few sort of more firmer details on the exact regimes and facilities that the University of Nottingham offers its performance athletes.
Yes, so we hope you've learnt a lot. I certainly have. George has been able to educate me as well as you on the respective performance sports that are prioritised here at the University of Nottingham, and we will be we'll be back again to mention, talk a little bit more about the different Bucks competitions, and perhaps do a roundup on the Big Bucks Wednesday.
Yeah, just before we end, I would just like to say from the university, if you are a student here at the university, or even if you're not, you are able to buy tickets to all of these teams, all of these games, which are happening on Big Bucks Wednesday or slightly before or slightly after. If you just go to the university website and type it in, then it's £2 for students. So it'll be great to get as many people there as possible. I know for the teams would be really love that. And obviously the facilities here are sure to put on a great show.
Yes, exactly. And definitely take advantage of this home atmosphere, home crowd, and get a good turnout there. But yes, I've thoroughly enjoyed this episode.
As have I.
Recording.
As ever.
Yes.
As ever.
Always. yeah, we'll be back again, probably rounding off the Big Bucks Wednesdays.
Yeah, we'll do a bit of a summary on Big Bucks Wednesday, and also maybe talk about, obviously, performance teams aren't the only ones that compete in Bucks.
No.
A broader Bucks episode might be a good one to do next with all the different teams around the university.
Yes, so definitely look out for that, and we'll make sure we get on that after a Big Bucks Wednesday. So as ever, thanks for listening. This has been Green and Gold with George and Archie, and keep it URN.
Keep it URN.